Lively Stone's Meditations for Friday, 17th of June, 2022. Why do you cry to me? Reading from Exodus 14, verses 15 to 16. And the Lord said to Moses, "Why do you cry to me? Tell the children of Israel to go forward, but lift up your rod, stretch out your hand over the sea and divide it. And the children of Israel shall go on dry ground through the midst of the sea." I can do no better here than quote from David Wilkerson, who says of this passage, "You have heard of the prayer of faith. I believe there is a mirror image of this prayer, a prayer that is based on flesh. I call this the prayer of unbelief. Let me pose a question to you. Have you ever heard the Lord say, 'Quit praying, get up off your knees'?" The Lord spoke these very words to Moses. And the Lord said to Moses, "Why do you cry to me?" The literal Hebrew meaning of the verse is, "Why are you shrieking at me while the loud pleading in my ears?" Why would God say this to Moses? Here was a godly, praying man in the crisis of his life. The Israelites were being chased by Pharaoh with no escape. Most Christians would probably react as Moses did. He got alone with the Lord and poured out his heart in prayer. Yet, when God heard Moses shrieking, he might have said, "You've no right to agonize before me, Moses. Your cries are an affront to my faithfulness. I've already given you my solemn promise of deliverance, and I've instructed you specifically on what to do. Your tears are not the cry of a broken heart now. They are tears of self-pity. Is it time to stop crying?" As we face our own cries and our own crisis, we may convince ourselves, "Prayer is the most important thing I can do right now." But a time comes when God calls us to act, to obey his word in faith. At such a time, he will not allow us to retreat to a wilderness to pray. That would be disobedience. And any prayers would be offered in unbelief. The prayer of unbelief takes into account only God's goodness. It ignores the severity of his holy judgments. Paul writes, "Therefore, consider the goodness and severity of God," from Romans 11, verse 22. There is a reason the apostle purposely mentions God's goodness and severity in the same breath here. He is to turn our eyes away from the prayer of unbelief and toward true belief. I have to say that I have heard this sort of thing said before, but not fully understand it till now, until I read this a few days ago. Praying the same thing over and over can show a lack of trust in the Lord. It speaks of impatience. "Lord, I don't want this in your time, I want it now." But there are times when he speaks to us saying, "The work is done, and now you must act to realize it." If we are his, then we must accept that we are required to be his hands, his feet, his purpose. Listen for his voice, which says, "Whatever we think to the contrary, we are loved by him." Sometimes, however, he will say, "Why do you cry to me?" Meditate on these things. Psalm 10, verse 1 says, "Why do you stand afar off, O Lord? Why do you hide in times of trouble?" And it goes on to say in verses 14 to 18, "But you have seen for you observe trouble and grief, to repay it by your hand. The helpless commits himself to you. You are the helper of the fatherless. Break the arm of the wicked and the evil man. Seek out his wickedness until you find none. The Lord is King forever and ever. The nations have perished out of his hand. Lord, you have heard the desire of the humble. You will prepare their heart. You will cause your ear to hear, to do justice to the fatherless and the oppressed, that the man of the earth may oppress no more. And finally, a holy occupation, Oswald Chambers on prayer. It requires childlikeness. The greatest barrier to intercession is that we take ourselves so seriously and come to the conclusion that God is reserved with us. He is not. God has to ignore things we take so seriously until our relationship with him is exactly that of a child. From The Moral Foundations of Life.